foregoing and letting go of negative thinking and how that impacts our lives. And for some, we have this default in our life that we immediately go to a negative thought. If we meet somebody, if somebody says something to us, it immediately causes us to go to this place. And the way science described this is like walking down a well-beaten path through a wooded area that you've always walked in. And there was a description of what science has discovered, that has what's been in the Bible for millennial, that they call it cognitive therapy, where they take your negative thought and they lay a positive, a good thought over that. And it's like creating a new pathway for you to walk in. And instead of you always going default to a negative thought, that you transform your life and you begin to think of something better in there. You think of something positive. You think of something that God did for you. And you create a new pathway that you're not going to go down that old road anymore. Are you listening to me today? My kids got me a Fitbit for Christmas, and I broke the first one. And so they give you, they either replace it or they give you a discount on buying a newer and maybe a higher model. So I wanted to get the latest, and so I ordered it, and it came in. This one is so cool that if I'm sitting at my desk for a while, all of a sudden it vibrates and it tells me, get up and walk. It vibrates if somebody's call. If my phone is off, somebody texts me, I can tap it. I can see the text on it. Don't text me now. I don't want to be looking. I don't want no vibrating right now. But it's the coolest thing that all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it'll tell me, get up and move. Get up and take a walk. Man, I have to. I'm sitting in my office yesterday like I do on Saturdays, and I get up and Patty comes up. Where are you going? I said, well, my Fitbit told me to go for a walk, so I'm going. She goes, it told you to do that. I go, well, it buzzed, and then I looked at it, and it puts its arms up and says, time to go for a walk. So I went out, and I went for a walk because it's programmed to tell you if you walk instead of sitting all this time, if you walk, you'll charge your batteries and your metabolism will get blah, whatever, yeah. You get all that. I'm going somewhere else with that. But wouldn't it be great that instead of us always thinking a negative thought when something comes through our life that maybe happened in our past, wouldn't it be great instead of us going down that same old pathway that something would buzz on us and tell us, no, let's not go that way. Let's go a new way. Instead of you always thinking that somebody thinks the worst of you, instead of you always thinking, well, that's those people, they're always like, they treat me like that. I'm not going to go here and go there. I'm never going to go and do this anymore because of. And instead of you always going down that same old path, how about you changing that and let God give you some new pathways to walk on? Are you listening to me right now? Listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's God on me again right there. What's happening? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove it as a good, perfect, and acceptable will of God for your life. A new thought, a new way of thinking, giving up something old to get something new. And I know, listen, some people say the older you get, the harder it is to change your mind or to change the way you think. And that's an old thought, too, that you need to walk away from and say, God, you can renew my mind. I don't care how old I am. I don't care where I've been, what's happened to me. You can change me so I can think in a different manner. I can think it a different way. If you're fearful or afraid, the Bible says to lay a new thought down. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. When you're fearful, instead of you being afraid and always saying, oh, this is going to happen to me, that's going to happen to me. No, I think of this new thought. If I'm confused in my life, if I don't know what I'm supposed to do, the Bible says that I'm to lay the thought, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, he will keep his mind in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed or stayed or focused on him, or his thoughts are on him. If you're brokenhearted, Instead of you always going to the default, instead of you always looking to a bottle or a package or a bag or picking up your phone and just crucifying something or someone and saying, I'll never get married, I'll never do this again. If you're hurt, you go to God's word. And the Bible says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Aren't you happy about that? And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And instead of you always thinking, it's always this way, it's always going to be this way, now you have a new thought. And God calls us to change our minds and change the way we think and let go of something old and go up to something brand new. Come on today. If you're feeling alone, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. What? But I'm alone. No, God says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And isn't that a powerful word? Come on, we could say amen and go home right on that today. That is so great. And so God wants us to give up some of that so we can go up higher in him. And today, I want to just talk to you about going up with relationships. Because you and I are called to choose the relationships that we have in our life very carefully. You are where you are, and you are who you are because of the people you hang around. And I know some people that they just, when I say that, well, you don't know where I am. Old thought. Negative thought. You don't know what I've been. Wrong. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've been, but you got to make a choice to let go of some of that old and go up to something higher. And it has to happen in your relationships. My mom used to tell me, and I hated it when I was a kid, but she was right all the time, and all the moms said amen. She said, I know what you've been doing by who you've been hanging around. And Proverbs 27:19 says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends that he hangs out with. That's powerful right there. Who are you hanging out with? You know, the five closest friends that you hang out with mostly are who you are like. I wrote that on my Facebook page one time, and somebody says, I must be like a one-year-old, a two-year-old, a four-year-old, a five-year-old. I thought that was so cool. And for many of us, this is directly connected to the way we think, how we process. We have this default that we possibly go back and we walk through these old seasons in our life. If something happens to us, I talk to people that are going through marital issues all the time. They're challenged by it. There could be a negative experience in a marriage that causes the opposite spouse to go and do the same thing to bring revenge on the one that hurt them. Old thought, old way of living. Negative that will tear your life apart. And God says, I want you to leave that old way and I want you to go up higher. How do you do that? You have to nurture. We have to begin to really think about this and nurture some of the important relationships that God has given to you and I. And you have to realize what we have in relationships. They are so important. You don't know what you do for me when I see you every week. And some of you, I might not even know very personally, but when I see you and you smile and you just nod your head, whatever it is. Some of you, you know, I get a hug from, you know, Jimmy Booty come up and give you a slap on the back of the head, on the back, somewhere on the back. I don't want to tell you everywhere all the time, where on the back. But you know what that does? When the judge, Tosher, he gives me a hug. And he thinks I'm kidding with him. He doesn't realize that makes my day. These men that are men to me and those relationships, and we might not hang out much together, but I want you to know they're important to me. I see George Schott this morning. He reminds me again. He's 78. I look at him. I said, you don't have a wrinkle on you. He said, I can't help that. That's just not part of who I am. I said, yeah, it's like because you're black, you don't crack. And that's true. Look at how good he is. I said, I don't know if I look as good as he does. I need George in my life. Come on. Amen. We need one another in our lives. And it may be at your house. It may be home. And you may be taking your spouse for granted. You might just think, well, you know, they're there. And some of you, and I've had people come up and say to me, well, you know, the fire has just gone out in the marriage. Duh. We used to have a wood-burning stove at one of the houses we lived in years ago. I'd stoke that sucker up. I mean, that thing would get so hot, it would glow. I mean, I didn't know anything. It's a wonder I didn't burn the house down. I mean, I shoved everything in that thing. We'd get them. We'd sit on the couch together. We'd watch that. We'd hear it sparking in there. But you know what? I'd get all comfy and all settled in, and all of a sudden, it'd get cold. I'd have to get up and go put another log of wood in that thing. When we were younger, and I used to think I'm going to heat with wood all the time, and I'd chuck that sucker full at night, and I'd have to get up in the middle of the night when it was really cold. I'd have to walk out in the garage and carry that wood, and I thought, what am I doing here? And you know what? That happens with some of us in our relationships in life, that you don't keep putting the wood on the fire in your relationship and keep it hot. You can't expect that always to get hot unless you nurture that fire. Amen. If you're going to clap, don't mess around. I love to have campfires at my house. And if you know me, sometimes I'll keep that thing going straight for a week. Do you know what? If I keep on putting the wood on it, it can be a pouring rainstorm and that fire is still burning out there. It's just the coolest thing in the world. Do you know you could have rain in your home and on your marriage and your relationship, but if you got the fire hot, baby, is nothing going to stop you. Somebody's like, whoo, I want to get home and get some fire going. Let me tell you this now. Let me tell you this. If your fire's out and you leave today and say, well, I'm going to throw some wood on, you cannot go to 7-Eleven and buy flowers and take it home and think you're going to rekindle that flame. I took her flowers. No, Bubba, you did not. You took her something left over that was cheap, and you got to go spend some money. And if you're going to nurture relationships, I know you love this when I talk like this. You're going to spend money. You're going to spend time. You're going to give energy. You're going to do things that you don't want to do. Some of you guys, you're going to pick up the vacuum cleaner. You're going to wash some dishes. The women are clapping and the men are... I knew we should have come to the first service. Listen, 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8 says, the end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. And to cover sin is not just to hide it, but it's to forgive it. And to bring love to it. Love covers so it's not gossiped about. Love also covers, but it doesn't enable. And church people can be the worst at this. If you really loved me, you'd agree with my decision. What? To make an idiot out of yourself? No way. Love comes alongside you with truth and puts truth into your situation, not a condemning way, but it tells you the truth, and that it shows you the forgiveness and the grace and the peace of God in your situation and in your life, so you don't stay where you're at. We don't cover that up. We shine a light on it and say, this is the way, walk in it. That's what love is all about. And maybe you got to accentuate some family times together. I don't know. You have to also, for some of you, you have to restore some things that have been broken, some broken relationships. You got to work on that. And sometimes you can't fix it in your own strength. The Bible says in Romans 12, don't repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, here it is, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you. Did you see that? Can you read that? Can you look in your Bible? You should open up your Bible, underline that, as much as it depends on you. You be at peace with all men. You're not going to in every case, But if you haven't done your part, if you haven't shown love and forgiveness and care and reached out and did everything you could to restore that, you're not doing what you can, and God can't do what he can do. But if you do what you can do, God will do what he can do. He goes on to say, don't take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. It's written, I will avenge, I will repay, says the Lord, not you. You can't do it. Let God get involved. Forgive them and settle it in your heart. Don't get so uptight about everyone and everything. Quit holding grudges. Come on, quit it. Stop it. Galatians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I'm going to pound that down. This is going to be a church that loves and forgives and accepts. We won't be a church. Hold on. We won't enable people to act foolishly. I don't do that. You come to me and say, you know, I'm going to leave my spouse. I'm going to look right at you and say, you're dumb. You haven't tried. You haven't worked at it. You haven't kept the fire going. You haven't done what you could do. You're looking on the other side of the fence. You're saying it's greener over there. But you have not watered your grass like it needs to be watered. Forget looking over there. Get your hose out, your sprinkler out. Start your fire. Start your engines. And take care of your business. My goodness, I'm not going to get out of that no matter what I do. Come on, will you help me today? Woo! It's getting hot up in here. Honey, you better come up here and stand with me. She's looking over there. I'm not going near you right now. You got to sever some relationships that are hurting you and harmful. This is hard. But if you continually and perpetually allow somebody to hurt you and assault you, ladies, this is so touchy and tender, but I want to help you. Because I've talked with people, the guys, they don't have a job. They want to move into your house. I don't know anybody. If that's you here today, I don't know you. I'm not talking about anybody. I don't know anybody. This is not the best time probably to move around either. So just, if you let a guy living and he's not working, you just let him slide in and he starts hurting you, and kick him to the curb. Get rid of that. You know what? This isn't even in my notes today. This isn't even in my notes. But if you're thinking about marrying somebody, if you're thinking about just hooking up, you need to rethink your thinking. God blesses marriages. He doesn't bless just connections. Now, people can come here. I don't care what your relationship status is. I love you. God loves you. But he's got a standard and a practice that if you'll do this, you'll experience the best he has for you. He really does. But if you're thinking about getting married to somebody, Pastor, you don't know, I just love him. Oh, gosh, I love him. I can't live without him. You know how many people come? They say, will you marry us? No. You won't? No. But you're a pastor. You have to. No, I don't. I want to marry you, and I want you to know what you're getting into. I've told some couples, has he got a job? Well, he's trying. What? Did you run his credit report? You laugh all you want. The people that are close to me, let me tell you something. Maybe I shouldn't tell you. You're going to think I'm really weird. Ryan says, yeah, move on, Dad. Okay. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise, he grows wise. But a companion, get a credit report, running on that sucker. If he can't pay his bills, he is never going to take care of you. And when he gets cleaned up, then you look at him again. All right. Now I'm going to move on. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good people. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And then you got to initiate some strong, meaningful relationships. You know, I know some of you didn't like that comment. You're wrong. I'm right, not just because I'm here, but because it's the word of the living God. You don't get married for 6 months or 2 years or 5 years. You get married for life. And if you're not thinking that way, don't get married. Save yourself. Save yourself. I don't marry people unless they commit. They'll stay married 100 years. After that, I don't care what they do. But initiate some meaningful relationships, something that you don't have. Reach out. Who do you want? Find somebody you want to hang out with. Only one of you has to move. So let me give you some going up decisions in our relationship. Number one, develop a relationship with your church. And if this is your church, develop a relationship with it. If it's not, find one where you can. Nobody is made to go anywhere, but when you find it and you like it, it's okay. You may not like it. It's all right. I want to tell you, if you don't like this worship experience, maybe you could come to the 8:30. It's a little lighter. Or you want to go to St. Anthony's at noon. It's a whole nother type of experience. But find a place where you can connect with and you can give your life to. You can give your money to. You can give some of your time to. Some of you are called to be givers. Some of you are called to be servants. But connect with it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:19, you are members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. The church is an important part. Make it a part of your life. Develop that relationship with it. Have ownership in it. Don't wait for everybody else to do something. You do something because we get to serve. Okay? Number two, develop a relationship with godly friends. Find the right set of godly friends that you can get close to and get around people that will pull you up and not continually push you down. Choose to connect with others. Choose. Get into a Bible study. Get into a group meeting where you meet some people. And you're not always going to get what you need from hearing me. Man, the women, the men, the young adults, the youth, the kids, they all have these groups. Get inside. Connect with them. Meet some people that will stand with you, pray with you, be a part of it. And watch what God does in your life because of it. Acts 2:44, all believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. Next, you got to develop a relationship with a group or a team. You got to connect and find out when you're in that group and there's a project or there's something that you can connect with, that you get into it. You get all in because you'll never really experience the glory of God in your life until you are connected with a team or a group. Music ministry, sound ministry, children's, kids, bus, usher. I could go on and on and on. Serving over to St. Anthony's. Whatever it is, connect with a group that they become your friends, they become your brothers, and you are connected. Ecclesiastes 4, 8 and 9. Listen to this. He said, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. He had the wealth, but he didn't have no people to share it with. And nothing is worse than eating alone when you could be eating with others. He goes on to say, two are better than one. They have a good return for their labor. God designed you and I for that. You find your pace, you find your wheelhouse that works well, and you get involved with it, and you begin to do it. And some of you, you've never done that. And I understand, maybe you're in a place where you just need some time. That's okay. Take all the time you want. But then there'll come a time where you need to engage in something that you can allow God to use you for what you're gifted for. And then let it come right to this point here. This is where it is, and I want those who are going to share communion to come on down now and prepare. You have to develop a relationship with God. You have to go higher. What would your life be today if you were all in? Listen to me right now. All in. All in. Everything that you did. I talked about it earlier about, you know, the fan base that we have in Western New York. They're all in. When a team gets up, man, they're all, no matter what team it is, they're all in. They'll take their shirts off in 20-degree weather and beat their chest for their team. They're all in. They don't care what anybody thinks, what they look like. They give all. They're not fanatics. They're fans. God wants you and I to be a fan of what he is doing and what he has done in every life. My grandkids, every one of them are in sports. And when I go to their games, I get a little unruly. They're getting big. They're all growing up so fast. We had them all over on Friday night. Last night, Ben and Amanda are away, so we get to have them. I love having our grandkids with them. You know, when I go to a game that my oldest grandson, Gabe, is in, my son, Ben, will meet me right as I'm coming to the game. He says, "Now, Dad, you got to remember who you are. You're pastor." "Yeah." "Dad, you can't be hollering at the ref. You can't just do what you want here. You've got to be reserved, Dad." He gives me all this blah, blah. "Yeah, okay, yeah." I pay no attention to what he says. I mean, I go to the basketball games and the kids are like, "Shoot! Shoot! Go!" People are looking at me. I'm a fan of my grandkids. Man, I'll shout them down. I love them. I love to do that because when it comes to my grandkids and my kids, I am all in. 100%. They can do no wrong. When Gabe's playing football and the team's down, I'll stand right up and give the ball to the McDonald kid. Let him run it in. And the crazy thing is, and my youngest grandsons are here, I looked at them one time and I said, "Your cousin's going to run it in for a touchdown." And what did he do? He ran it in for a touchdown because I'm all in and I'm a fan. What would happen if you and I were all in with God today? If we gave everything of who we are to who he is and watched him work in our lives, that we believed him like nothing else and trusted him with our future and trusted him with our lives. I'm all in. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you're going to find me." Some of you just, you got one foot in a little bit. You're kind of checking the water out. Can I tell you, it's time for your life, your family, dads. It's time for you to get all in today. When you get all in, your family will be all in. Moms, when you decide to get all in, instead of you complaining about your husband, he'll get all in when he sees you. It's time for you to get all in. Your kids will get all in. They'll serve the Lord. They'll give their lives to him. There will be no question for who he is in your life. All in. I was in Buffalo yesterday morning early. I was at a store. I was getting something. And this lady came. She began to talk to me. Worked there. Talked about the weather, just little stuff for a moment. She said, "I moved to Florida. I moved up here." And she said, "I lived in this little community called Batavia." I go, "Really?" I said, "That's where I'm from." She goes, "You're from Batavia?" I go, "Yeah. I'm a pastor right at the church on Main Street." "Oh, at that big church right there on Main Street?" I go, "Well, yeah, at the church on Main Street." "Wow." And she begins to, "Do you know this person?" "Yeah." "Do you know this person?" "Yeah." "Do you know these people?" "Yeah." I said, "Do you know their son is doing really good?" She said, "Oh, I'm mad at him." "You're mad at him?" "He hurt me like 8 or 9 years ago, and I can't forgive him." And I'm standing there. I'm thinking here. My Saturday was busy. You brought me all the way to Buffalo for me to talk to this woman who's been mad at this person for 7 or 8 years. And God says, "Yeah, because you're all in. I can use you anywhere, at any time, in any place." I begin to talk to this person about how she needed to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, it's like you drinking the poison and think the other person is going to be sick. As I begin to talk to her, all these other people, I had this little congregation going on right there in the store. People listening to me about forgiving one another. And we come to the table of the Lord today, and it's impressed on my heart so much. In this area of relationship, one of the most important things that we could end the series on, but you have to get it right with people. You can't run away from people. You got to run to God. And He'll help you with those who have hurt you and have done things that have disappointed you and let you down. This message isn't for any one person. This is for all persons, including me. I told you about this Fitbit story. I wish it would vibrate and remind me when I'm upset at somebody and I want to say something. I wish it would just buzz and say, and me look at it and say, don't do it. I said this in the first service. I had a car follow me. This is a few weeks ago. My son Garrett was wanted me to take his car, pick him up at the shop. It was late on a Sunday night. I was tired. I go, okay. It's late at night. I'm tired. No nap. All week, pounding it out. It's 10:30 at night. Will you give me a ride, Dad? Oh, I'd love to. And I'm on my way home, and there's this car all up in my behind, on my car behind. And so I pull around this corner, still on me. I just pull off the side of the road, and the car goes around me, and the guy rolls down the window, and he sticks his middle finger out at me. Now, inside of me, I knew what I wanted to do. But my son sitting, he vibrated me. He said, Dad, let it go. I want to tell for some of you today, let it go. Rise up to another level. Let's take the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus. Said in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. He said, this is my body. I give it for you, each one of you. Take it, eat, and remember what I've done for you. Let's eat the bread and the body of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, this is my blood. This is the new covenant. Praise God. If you're sick here today, if you need healing, trust him for that right now. If you need a touch from the Master, trust him right now. He took the cup. He said, this is my blood. When you drink it, remember what I've done. We remember you today, God. You heal our hearts. You heal hurts. You restore us and you make us new. Let's partake of the cup together. Aaron, come. I want the prayer people, I want you to come down. If you need prayer today for anything in your life, Aaron is going to close in prayer. Go in. Go all in with God today. If you're struggling with something in your life, come here, babe. Give it to God. If you need help in prayer with that, come on down. These folks will love to stand with you and pray for you today, okay?
Amen. Let's just stand together. Let our prayer this week be that we're all in with God. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for just the Bible coming to life this morning. I just pray as we leave, God, that when we walk out these doors, that we learn how to be all in for you, that we give you everything, every part of our lives, God, and that we're all in type of people. I just ask that you bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Like Pastor said, if you need prayer for anything, we're down here to walk through life with you. We'll pray with you. Now, have a great week.